Control to PC Jackson.
Jackson, go ahead, Sarge.
Got a body for you, Jacko. Now, go to the King's Head on Oak Street. There should be a Mr. Morris waiting by the phone box outside, if he hasn't got cold feet.
Eh?
Sounds like he's with a married bird. Get him to show you where the body is, then hang on to him, but do nothing yourself. Now, keep your muddy boots off and see they do the same.
Okay, Sarge.
Meanwhile, I'll try and raise CID. Jimmy, where's Inspector Thomas?
Zipping about playing Kojak.
Eh?
Had a call through direct a while back. I reckon it's a tip on those break-ins. Didn't say nothing to me, just nips off sneaky-like.
Oh, wants to keep his snouts to himself.
That scrubber. He's welcome to her. What do you want him for?
Stiff on the common. Throat cut.
Nice.
Oh, I don't know the strength of it yet. Just had an informant on the phone. The boy wonder should be with him by now.
I'll handle it.
Yeah, I thought you had a dinner party tonight.
That's right. Couple of Maureen's boring friends. They'll start going on about the decline of capitalism. Puts me off me grub, that. They never say what happened to football.
Yeah, it'd be a bit lonely for you out there. The socko's off on a job, too.
You ever known a scene of the crime officer where you want him? You organise a photographer in the trimmings, and I'll give Maureen the sad tidings.
OK, Jimmy.
Body on the Heath by Bill Lyons, with Douglas Livingstone, Nigel Hawthorne and Colette O'Neill.
Hello, love.
Hello. Oh, Jimmy, did you get the wine?
Yeah, but something's come up.
Oh, no.
Sus death. Don't know the strength yet.
Well, can't someone else?
Don't you read the papers, Mo. The force is seriously undermanned.
Are you telling me it's so bad the Met hasn't got a single detective sergeant to spare bar you?
Scout's honour.
Liar. It's just you don't like John and Margaret. Well, what are you doing for grub?
Oh, I'll get a sandwich from the canteen. You save us a bit of that cheesecake, though, won't you? I'll try not to be too late.
You want to be careful. It might still be here.
I'll drop the wine in on my way past. See you, love.
See you, Judas.
The gentleman who phoned.
Officer.
The lady's gone, sir.
Opted, eh?
Well, you can't blame her if her husband finds out.
Yes, I think we got the picture, sir. Are you going to take us to this body, then?
Oh, I suppose I have to. It's this way. It's just behind those bushes there. I'd rather not have to see it again, if you don't mind.
Fair enough, you wait here.
Oh, thank you.
This muck's going to make a mess of your nice uniform, Jacko. You'll have to get up even earlier to polish your boots tomorrow.
God. I can see why he held back. Pretty horrible.
Never bother me once they're dead. I mean, they don't even look like people, do they? Mind you, I can see you'd be in for a bit of a shock if you just crawled in here for a bit of how's your father.
He doesn't strike me as that sort of man at all, Sarge.
I thought you'd finished your probationary period, Jackson.
I have.
You haven't learned much about human nature, have you? What do you reckon to this body? Come on, dazzle me with all that cadet learning your head stuff with.
Well, it's suicide, isn't it, Sarge? Knife in the right hand, body position suggests it too.
Why here?
Dunno. But why anywhere?
Think about it! If it's spur of the moment, there's got to be a weapon handy. Razor blade in the bathroom. Chain in the bog. Kitchen's not so popular since they switched to natural gas. But even if it's planned, you don't commit suicide in a public place unless you've got nowhere to go, or you want to make a spectacle of it. Reckon that fits in?
How can you tell?
Not enough blood either. Plenty on the neck and the clothes. Practically nothing on the grass.
So you think he was moved here after he died?
Top of the class, Jacko. We're making progress. Get on to control, tell him we're not happy, we want a forensic pathologist.
Well, shouldn't we wait for the socko? He's on his way.
Get on with it, shall we, before that stiff gets any colder. We'll need lights.
Lights?
You ever tried to raise a pathologist before?
No.
Well, they're even more undermanned than we are. By the time you get one, we'll need lights. Oh, you best tell control inform the DI if they can find him.
Right, Sarge.
Meanwhile, I'll see what sort of tale Casanova's got to tell. We're still waiting on him. What they got, we haven't.
Richmond burned up in a warehouse.
Frying tonight, eh?
Yeah,
Trouble is, we don't even know who Chummy is yet.
Look, Jimmy, I'm going to get you yelled at if you keep hogging the radio.
Sorry. Signing off.
Here we sit like birds in the wilderness. Birds in the wilderness.
Another few inches, he might have had his head off, you know. Had one like that when I worked near Box Hill. Body at the top, head 10 yards away. Must have rolled, I suppose.
Give it a rest, Sarge.
Stomach bad? Don't tell me you can't take it, old son.
I've been feeling off all evening. I reckon I ate something.
Curry. Never eat curry in the canteen. That's what they do with the pensioned off police dogs. Want a fag?
I don't, thanks.
No, you wouldn't. No vices. The sort of clean-cut lad all the ads are aimed at. Tomorrow's policeman.
You don't like me, do you, Sarge?
Whatever gave you that impression?
You're always having a go at me.
That's not having a go, son. That's irony. I'm giving you the benefit of my downbeat humour.
Well, I wish you wouldn't.
If you really want to know, it's your keenness gets up my nose.
Well, I am keen. I can't help that. I want to make a career of it.
Oh, God.
But why not? It's not my fault if you've...
missed the boat. Don't bother to spare my feelings. I know I'll never make Chief Constable. I've come to terms with it.
Well, maybe I will.
Good luck to you. I'll still be a better Jack than you could ever make. Where's that bloody pathologist?
It's your fault. We've had to wait.
Eh?
The scene of crime officer said we should have called out Dr. Morrison. He'd have been here and gone by now.
That bumbling idiot. I'd rather wait all night.
Well, you should take some notice of the Socco.
I know what needs doing better than he does.
Oh. Let Scotland Yard know how you feel, shall I? Perhaps they'll scrap the whole scheme.
I wish they would. That bloke tonight, he's a boffin. Never been a copper. What's he going to tell me about running this sort of show?
God, if I'm tomorrow's policeman, you're certainly yesterday's Jack.
All I'm saying is we got on all right for years without him. If I've got flu, I'll call out Dr. Modison. That's his job. But I don't like the smell of this one. I want a professional on it.
Oh.
Had a GP once diagnosed a stabbing as heart failure. In too much of a rush to even open his bag. Here he is.
It's trying to be.
Has been all evening.
I hope it keeps off till we're finished.
I doubt it. Body's over here.
Thank you. Dr. Patterson.
Jimmy Vogel, that's PC Jackson.
Dr. Patterson.
Of course the garden could do with it.
Wouldn't know, haven't even got a window box.
There's my ruling passion.
Here we are. Not a pretty sight, eh?
No. It used to be all roses, but with the price of food rocketing, I've gone in for some veg this year.
Any chance of a bit more light on his throat?
Sorry, that's all we can give you. It might be able to angle it a bit more now.
Right, Sarge?
Ah, thank you. Because I can't make up my mind whether a greenhouse would be a good buy. You see, my wife likes the idea of fresh salad all the year round, but it means heating costs in winter.
Fuel charges going up all the time, too?
Bill says I should look on it as an investment.
Look, Doc, what do you reckon?
Huh?
Is it murder?
Well, give me a chance, lad.
Don't mind him, it'll be his first. Biggest crime he's had so far was 20 fags at the machine on the corner.
Eager beaver, eh?
I just feel we've wasted hours already. If it is murder, we ought to be out and doing something.
Put yourself in my shoes, lad. I've driven 60-odd miles to find you lot waiting on me like the word of God. All it needs is for me to say there's no crime and everything's switched off and we can all go home to bed.
But a murderer might be getting off scot-free.
Exactly. But if I say it's sinister, you'll pull out all the stops, cancel leave for a few dozen blokes, launch appeals on television, the works. I've got to be certain.
Finished?
All I can do here. I've been dead 6 to 10 hours. It's a queer one.
That's what I thought.
If it was just the cut, I would have said suicide. It's a classic incision. It begins high on the left, passes down across the front and ends at the right. Deeper at the origin, then tails off. All consistent with a right-handed person having cut his own throat.
And here's Chummy, conveniently placed with a knife in his right hand.
Yes, just the one clean cut, though.
So?
That's unusual. It's not an easy thing to commit suicide, especially like this. Not many people could do it in one go. You'd expect smaller, tentative incisions at the top of the wound.
where he'd tried but chickened out.
Maybe he had more guts than most people.
Maybe. That wouldn't explain the bruising, though.
What bruising?
Back of the neck, shoulders and ankles, no vital reaction.
So it was done after death?
Certainly.
Which means there was another person or persons involved.
He was dragged here.
So, you were right, Sarge.
And I'd say he'd been jammed in a confined space before that.
Car boot?
Oh, possible.
Right.
Likely.
So wherever it was done, someone didn't want him found there.
You're not expecting me to speculate on that, are you, Sarge?
No, just thinking aloud. They don't want us to know who he is, either. We had a careful look through his pockets before you arrived. Oh, we were very careful not to disturb anything, of course.
Of course.
Nothing. Not even a bus ticket.
Hard luck.
I don't suppose you've got anything for me.
Not yet. More hopeful after I've got him on the slab. His teeth look well cared for.
I'd appreciate anything, otherwise it's pages of missing persons. Right needle in an haystack job, that
is. I'll do my best.
Recent sexual activity?
No.
Booze?
No sign of it. He was wrapped in something for a time. Sheet, maybe. There are fibre particles in the blood around his neck.
Yeah. Well, we should stand a pretty good chance with witnesses anyway, Sarge.
You reckon?
Well, there's always plenty of people on the heath, walking their dogs, courting couples. It'd be hard to dump a 6-foot parcel without someone seeing it.
Don't you believe it? People see what they want to see. You could dump a corpse on the high street and no one would notice, provided you didn't do it on a yellow line.
Shouldn't we be getting on with it, Sarge?
You're right. Get on to control. Tell them the doc's confirmed we got a serious crime on our hands. Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war.
Eh?
It's an old police expression, son. Means your boots will need soling and healing before the week's out.
Oh,
sorry. Didn't mean to wake you, love.
Oh, what time is it?
Late.
Oh, God almighty.
But now you are awake.
I'm not.
Do you want a sandwich?
Hmm?
I felt a bit peckish. Moved myself a couple of rounds.
No, thanks. Did you get anything to eat tonight?
Forgot all about it.
Oh, and you wonder why you're so constipated.
I'll leave off. You put me off my grub. How was dinner?
Oh, okay. Oh, I left you some cheesecake in the fridge.
I know. Had it on the way up.
4 ham sandwiches.
Why not?
Your stomach must be like the municipal tip. How is the body?
Didn't say much.
You surprise me. Murder?
Could be.
Who's in charge?
Superintendent Fraser. Right little whiz kid he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's still at it now. Doesn't go to sleep nights. Just plugs in at the mains for a quick recharge.
I gather you don't like him.
He's your scientific copper. Run it through the computer, it'll come up with a criminal. He'll have our job with this one, though. We've got nothing to go on.
Are you staying on the case?
Oh, yeah, I'll see it through.
Get to bed now, eh?
Hardly seems worth it. Early start in the morning, report to finish for the DI, then the pathologist, then Fraser's briefing.
And you've not forgotten it's the school concert tomorrow. Tina's playing her violin.
Oh, yeah. Wish her luck from me.
Oh, you said you were coming.
Well, I said if I could. I might not make it now, not with this body.
Oh, Jimmy.
I didn't plan it like this. Surely you can explain that to her.
I think you should explain it to her for a change. Be nice for her to talk to her father, even if it is only to hear the same old excuses.
That's not fair, love.
Isn't it?
Look, I'll try and get away early.
Good night, Jimmy.
Morning, Sergeant. Or is it afternoon?
Sorry I'm late, sir.
I was just explaining to the doctor that we're in his hands over this. As it stands, we've got nothing to go on. And we can't afford the manpower for a real blanket inquiry, especially when I imagine suicide hasn't been entirely ruled out.
Well, as a solo effort it can be, but suicide with the complicity of a person or persons unknown is still in the running.
Fair enough.
Have we got any nearer to who he is yet?
I think I can help quite a bit there.
Thank God for that.
Age 18 to 22, no physical defects or abnormalities,
As a matter of interest, I'd say he was a perfect weight for his height.
Lucky fella. Wish I could say the same.
There's a callosity on the outer side of the distal phalanx, right hand, which indicates he did a lot of writing or drawing.
Ah, student, clerk, draftsman.
It's very possible. Yes. Callosities on the fingertips of the left hand indicate he played the guitar or banjo.
A music student.
I've made up a dental chart, of course.
Ah, good. Well, we'll get that circulated.
Good. In the meantime, I can tell you that he's been treated by quite a few dentists.
Ah, so he's moved around.
Oh, including abroad. He's got a shell crown. He didn't get that over here. Central European, I'd say it's a couple of years old by now.
I see.
It's all in my report, anyway.
Yes, well, thanks, Doc. I'll wade through all this later. Look, meanwhile, is there any overall impression you get? Something for us to hold on to?
You are the detectives. It's not my job to speculate.
Mm. So let your hair down for once.
Well...
Yes?
There's a sort of fussiness about him. An attention to detail.
How do you mean?
Everything. Clean, neatly filed nails, hair-styled, well-washed.
That's unusual. Most of the kids have things crawling through it.
You've been to the hairdressers recently, have you?
Well, yesterday or the day before, certainly within the lifetime of the shirt he was wearing. He's got a quantity of hair on the back of the collar. It can't be explained any other way.
Good. That might make him a lot easier to find.
This fussiness, you implying he was a homosexual?
I doubt it. Certainly no evidence. You'll have to find out about his sex life for yourself, Sergeant.
Shame. It's usually the key.
Yes, well, if that's all, Superintendent.
Yes, yes, of course. I know where to contact you if there's anything I don't understand the report.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Funny job, isn't it? I mean, most people want to be doctors to save lives. He never sees them till they're dead. Still, we'd be in a bad way without him.
He's given us a lot of help. Now, where do we go from here?
The nearest boozer.
Look, if we're going to work together, you're going to have to learn something about me. I don't think there's time for humour on a serious investigation.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Right. Where now?
Dentists, hairdressers, colleges of education, polytechnics.
Landladies. The principals will have lists of where the students board at. Yeah, sounds like a lot of legwork, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the one thing your computer doesn't seem to have mastered yet.
Now, don't resent machines, Sergeant. They can take a lot of the slog out of the job, if you use them properly.
Maybe.
You don't like them, do you?
My old DI used to say, if you want to catch villains, you've got to have a nose for it. I've not seen a machine's got one yet.
Yes. Well, take your nose down to the canteen, fetch us up a cup of tea. I've got to get ready for this briefing.
Right, sir.
12 o'clock in the parade room. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Now, you've all been given background to this investigation, so I won't go over all that again. I can update you a little, though. I've just been handed a lab report which shows that traces of another blood group besides the deceased's were found on the knife. Now, I don't want to speculate on the significance of this yet, but you'll probably have a few ideas of your own. Now, I don't think anyone here has worked under me before, so if we're going to sort this out quickly, and we'd all like that, then you do best to learn about me and the way I work. You may have heard that I'm a bit of a bastard. Funny how these rumours get about. Well, I am. I like things done my way. More than that, I insist on it. I do not appreciate solo artists. Every piece of information on this job is pooled, whether I get it or the newest constable on the beat. It'll be put on this chart here, in the appropriate column, until we've built up a picture not just of the deceased, but of how he died, and if it was murder, who killed him, and the place it was done. D.C. Matthews.
Yes, sir.
It'll be your job, under my direction, to keep it up to date. At the moment, it's mainly blank spaces. The rest of you will be starting to put that right today with some old-fashioned legwork. Yes, Sergeant Mann.
Yes, sir.
Now, to details. W.P.C. Hobbs, P.C.'s Jackson and Springett, you'll be working the Heath under the direction of Sergeant Barnes.
Yes, sir.
PC's Francis and Thomas and Sergeant Mann will be touring hairdressers. Gillard, Stevens and Makepeace on dentists. DC's Fairbrother and Derwent will be covering colleges and polytechnics. Sanger's and Pacey's student Diggs, all under the direction of Sergeant Vogel.
Sir.
Now, let's just get one thing straight before we start. I'm not sending you out for the exercise and the good of your health. This case is extremely short on facts. Every detail may be important. I want clear, comprehensive reports written up as soon as possible after the interviews, not some hastily scribbled notes from memory 3 days later. Are there any questions? Right. Get on with it, then.
No, I don't think so.
Never seen him before.
When are you not going to do something about vandalism? That's what I want to know.
Well, personally, I'm getting fed up with these students. They're supposed to give you a term's notice, but they seem to come and go just as they please. Their rooms are like pigsties. And as to the carrying on, well, I hope I don't need to spell it out.
Sorry, I'm afraid.
He looks just like that pop singer. What's his name?
Well, I always like to do compliments.
No?
Sorry.
Yeah, I've done him. Face looks vaguely familiar.
Do you think you could have cut his hair in the last few days?
Yeah. Give us another butcher's of that photo. Of course, you should tell whoever's in charge they've got this all wrong.
Oh?
Well, this photo's not much help. It's the back of the hair we get to look at most, not the face.
All right, I'll mention it. Could it have been yesterday you cut it?
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon it was.
Ah, good. Now, what did you talk about?
Eh?
Come on. Hairdressers always talk. Football, politics, the weather. You must have chatted about something.
Oh, I don't know. Just a wash, like the shampoo. Doesn't mean anything. We don't remember it. Just to keep the customer happy. Well,
try and get a picture in your mind. Now, which chair was he sitting in?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, try.
Yeah. Over by the door.
Ah.
And he didn't talk, not at all. I tried, but he didn't answer, so I gave up. It was a lot like that.
He was preoccupied with something.
I wouldn't know. I'm a hairdresser, not a psychiatrist. Was that any help?
There's dozens more yet.
Yes?
Oh, Detective Sergeant Vogel, Hotham Road Police.
Yes?
Do you think I could come in?
What's it about?
You have a student lodging here, a Mr. David Simon.
No.
Typical. Secretary of that art school said you had. Mind you, she hardly seemed to know what day of the week it was.
Well, this would be the address she's got. You see, he was staying here, but he's gone now.
I see. When did he leave?
Yesterday morning.
You got a forwarding address?
I'm afraid not. He obviously didn't tell the college either.
No, just didn't turn up. This would be a lot easier if I could come in.
Very well.
Thanks.
Well, would you mind coming into the kitchen? I expect you'd like a cup of tea.
If you're making one. Lucky. Get the sun in here.
Yes. This won't take a minute.
These sketches, Mr. Simon's?
No, they're mine. I dabble a bit. Like you said, the light's good in here.
You don't mind me looking?
They're not very good. I'm not a professional.
At least you can see what they're meant to be. Not like some of these modern ones.
What do you want to see David about?
Well, I don't know if I do yet. You might be able to help me there.
Well, I'll do anything I can, of course.
You knew him well, did you?
What do you mean by that?
No offence, Mrs. Holland. It's just that we have a body we're trying to put a name to. We think he may be a student. Now, the college secretary couldn't help us. We showed her a photo, said it might be, might not. They're all just names on a list to her.
And you think David might be this body?
It's unlikely, of course, but if you knew him well, I want you to be prepared for the possibility. It might be a shock otherwise.
Well, we weren't close.
As a matter of fact, he left owing us a month's rent.
Would you usually let your students get that far behind?
I'm not a very good businesswoman, I'm afraid. I don't really take them for the money.
No?
It's company. It keeps me occupied. And I was an art student myself. So I suppose, in a way, it keeps me in touch.
I see.
Can you show me the photograph now?
Certainly.
Yes. That's him. Would you like a biscuit?
Eh? Yes, thanks.
Chocolate or plain?
Chocolate.
How did he die?
Throat cut. The photo's been touched up. It was pretty nasty. We don't know yet whether it was suicide or not. There'll be an inquest.
Will I be expected to attend?
Well, possibly. You'll be informed. How long has David Bawley been with you?
Must be almost a year now.
What made him leave so suddenly?
What makes young people do anything these days?
I don't know.
We thought it might have something to do with his girlfriend. Perhaps he'd moved in with her.
You don't happen to know her name, I suppose, where she lives?
No, I'm afraid not. I don't encourage students to bring their girlfriends back here. And in fact, it's one of my only rules that they shouldn't.
I see.
Oh, I'm not a prude, you understand. It's just I don't wish to be attacked by some neurotic woman from the provinces who blames me for her daughter's pregnancy.
Very wise. Would you have any objection to me looking round his room?
Well, not at all, but I doubt it'll be much help. He took everything with him, and my husband started making a playroom for the children in there. We decided not to have another student. They're far more trouble than they're worth. Look, call Ellen, Sergeant.
Ah, Annie Vickers.
Ah, the fuss taking up art? Or is this a raid?
I'd just like to ask you a few questions, love.
What's it this time, pot or politics?
David Simon. You know him?
Of course. What's he done?
He's dead.
You mean murdered?
And why should you think that?
Oh, I got 6 O-levels. I'm smart enough to know you'd not be sent round if he'd had a heart attack. David dead, incredible.
We need to know a bit more about him. Who his friends are, what he did in his spare time.
He's a funny bloke, David. Keeps himself to himself, you know?
Girlfriends?
Well, he used to buy presents for someone occasionally. You know, perfume, chocolates, really trad stuff. He sort of implied there was this mysterious lady in the background.
Sounds intriguing.
Maybe it was meant to. He got into a fight over her with one of the other lads once. Mm-hmm. Everyone said it was because his girlfriend must be married and he didn't want us to find out about her.
This lad who got into a fight with him, what was his name?
What do you want to know for?
I want to meet David's friends. Helps us to build up a picture.
Look, he won't get into any trouble, will he? I mean, it was just a stupid fight.
No one's going to fit him up. We just want to talk to him, that's all.
Eric Stanley Hills. One conviction, punch up at a student demo.
Might be what we're looking for.
Had a go at one of our lads. Well represented, got off with a conditional discharge. Makes you spit, doesn't it?
Nothing else?
Good bit of background here from the home beat, man. Posh family, both parents doctors.
Interesting.
Cracking school record, captain of everything, including boxing.
What do you reckon to him?
We can't have struck that lucky.
Yes, well, let's forget about your famous nose and look at the facts, shall we? One, the lad had a punch-up with Simon a couple of months back, so they don't like each other. Two, he wasn't at college yesterday, why not? Three, he's got a record of violence.
One lousy student demo. He's a comfortable middle-class pink. There's nothing political in this.
Record of violence and the medical knowledge needed for the job.
And four is all we got.
All right, it's thin at the moment, but it's bricks. You've got to build a case, Sergeant.
Milado's here. Park him in the detention room, shall I?
No, interview. Jacko's brought him in.
Oh, good. I think it's best if you talk to him, Sergeant.
I thought you might.
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Said anything to you?
Not a lot. None of it friendly.
He doesn't like policemen, do you, Mr. Hills?
Duffed one up once.
Get away with anything, can't you? Mummy and Daddy fix it.
What are you on about?
Must have been a choker when David Simon thumped you, you being leader of the pack. That must have spoiled your image. Made you want to get back at him?
What? I don't understand.
You're not kidding me. You were sorry to see him dead.
Look, I think I'd like to go now. I've got a date tonight.
I haven't started my questions yet.
If you intend holding me here, I'd like to contact my solicitor.
What solicitor? What's his number?
Give me the phone book.
We don't seem to have one in here. Just give me his name and number and I will contact him for you.
I don't know it.
Then we'll carry on with the questions.
Look, are you charging me?
What with? When I charge you, sir, I will, of course, inform you. I will also remind you of your rights as per judge's rules.
May I phone my family?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Hills. This is a time of economy. We can't have you using the police station phone for your personal calls.
My dad will know the solicitor's number.
What a pity he isn't here, then. Where were you yesterday afternoon?
College.
No, you weren't. We checked.
I did go in, but I left early.
Why?
I had a migraine.
So where did you take it? You weren't at your digs.
I went for a walk. I thought it might clear my head.
How long did this walk take?
A couple of hours, maybe three. I didn't notice.
3 hours? You must be fit. Where'd you walk to, Gatwick?
Just around. I told you I was trying to clear my head.
Did you see anyone on this walk who could confirm it?
No.
Not in 3 hours. And after that, I presume, your head had cleared. What did you do then?
I went to the pictures.
On your own?
Yes.
Got the ticket stub?
I'm trying to give them up.
Okay, tell me about the fight you had with David Simon.
What fight?
There's more than one, then.
What? No,
let's take the one everyone knows about first, the one about his girlfriend.
Oh, well, it was nothing serious, just a misunderstanding.
A misunderstanding?
Yes, you see, he never used to have much to do with girls at college. Too shy, maybe. Well, I used to joke with him about it, just good-natured, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're a real comedian.
And then one day, after we finished classes, I was taking Annie Vickers for a coffee. We decided to cut across the heath, and it started to rain.
Hey, there's someone who's not bothered about getting wet.
Eh?
David Simon, over there in the open. Hey, David!
Oh, come on, let's stay undercover. He obviously doesn't want us to see him.
Oh, don't be so unsociable. I want to know what he's up to.
Meeting his girlfriend?
Or boyfriend.
You don't think he's gay, do you?
Anyone who doesn't try to chat you up, Annie, must be a bit suspect.
Flattery will get you anywhere.
Hello, David. What are you up to?
I just came out for a walk.
We thought you might be meeting someone.
Just a walk.
You're a bit of a dark horse, though, aren't you, David?
Are you going to introduce us when she comes?
I just want to be left alone.
Oh, but we want to meet her.
We're dying of curiosity.
Please go away.
You're not ashamed of her, are you, David?
Perhaps she's got a wooden leg.
Might be a midget.
Oh, no, no, I think I got it right first time. She is a fella, isn't she, David? A ginger beer, a poofter.
Look, I told you to clear off.
Hey, let go of me.
I'm fed up with you and your grubby jokes. Some people's minds can reach a bit higher than the lavatory chain, you know.
It was a joke, David. I didn't
mean... My private life is my business. Understand?
Yeah.
Look, calm down, David. You hurt him.
Then clear off and leave me alone.
If you just let go of me, I will.
So, what do you reckon?
Oh, he's definitely hiding something. Bleating about a solicitor, of course, but I can handle him.
You got anything concrete, or is it just your famous nose?
He's pretty vague about yesterday afternoon. Had the time and the motive.
And you don't like him?
You were the one who was putting him up as a suspect before, remember?
Yes, I was thinking of facts, not feelings. What's wrong with him, anyway?
He smells of privilege.
Like me.
Okay, so I'm prejudiced, but I reckon if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you should be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
There he is, with the sort of chances some kids are crying out for, and he wastes his time prancing about on demos and chatting up the birds.
None of which has anything to do with our case.
I need more time.
We're letting him go.
What?
We can't hold him long without a charge. When his parents find out he's here, I'll have the full weight of the legal profession round my neck. Now, supposing he's involved, if we pat him on the back and let him go, he'll think he's got away with it. That might irritate you, but it's just the state to hit him with a charge later if we've got the bricks and mortar to build one.
It's your case, sir.
Cat and mouse. That's the way I play it, Sergeant. You'll have to get used to it. Now, I'll go and pack him off home. Meanwhile, there's just time for you to catch the next train to Bedford.
What for?
Simon's dad lives out there. Local police sort of informed him of the death, and I thought one of us ought to show the flag.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, you'll enjoy yourself. I should think the smell of privilege would be practically overwhelming.
So sorry to have kept you waiting, Sergeant.
That's all right. Your housekeeper said you were very busy.
I believe you've spoken to the local police already, sir.
Yes. There was a constable waiting for me when I got back from London.
You were in London yesterday, sir.
I run a publisher's. I don't get into the office as much as I ought to, but I've been up there for the last few days.
I see. It must have been a terrible shock to come home to.
It's an awful thing for anyone to die that young.
Yes.
Tragic though my son's death was, I don't really see why a suicide warrants quite so much police attention.
Well, to put it bluntly, sir, we're not yet satisfied that your son's death was suicide. Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
I didn't imagine you'd come down from London to admire the garden.
How long has your son been living away from home?
Nearly 2 years now.
That was before he started art school, then?
Yes.
What made him leave?
I don't consider that relevant.
Mr. Simon, this is not an easy case. I would appreciate your fullest cooperation.
We didn't get on, David and I. It seemed easier for us to live apart. I gave him a very generous allowance. There was no ill feeling.
What caused the friction, then? The usual adolescent revolt or something more?
My wife was killed in a car accident 10 years ago. I was driving at the time. For some reason, David has always held me responsible.
I see.
I doubt it. We still met quite regularly when I was in town, often had lunch together. Never really mentioned it, but I knew it killed the chance of any real feeling between us.
If it turns out that David did commit suicide, you'd say it was partly due to his mother's death.
I'm sure of it.
Even after 10 years?
Not because of her, because of what he'd made of her in his mind. I didn't realize then, but there were plenty of signs that this might happen.
Like what?
Well, every time I saw him, he got more introverted, more moody. I don't think he had many friends in London. That gave him too much time to think.
When did you last see your son, Mr. Simon?
Yesterday.
What?
We had lunch together.
Well, why didn't you tell the local copper that?
I didn't consider it any of his business any more than I consider it yours.
So why tell me now?
I'd never lie in answer to a direct question. If I'd been asked before, I would have mentioned it. I don't think I can be expected to volunteer information. My son committed suicide. And no amount of investigation is going to raise him from the dead.
Laura's already told the sergeant who we know.
Yes, a few points have come up since then, Mr. Holland.
Oh, yeah?
Look, do you think you could stop that for a minute?
Look, I want to get this lot finished.
Well,
tonight.
It won't take long. Yeah. Now... I understand that David left in something of a rush.
Yeah, he owed us a month's rent.
And he left nothing behind?
Nothing.
I noticed a guitar in the back of the hall cupboard when I came in behind your tools.
Yeah?
We know that he played one.
Oh, that's Laura's.
Hmm. Well, it seems odd to stuff it in the back of a tool cupboard.
She doesn't use it anymore. She was learning, then she gave it up. She gets these fads sometimes.
Yes, I see. Well, if she was learning, perhaps... David helped her. It would seem natural being in the same house.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Yeah, well, we'll ask her when she comes in. Did he get many visitors?
I don't think so. He was a quiet boy. Spent most of his time in his room on his own.
I brought some here.
Thanks.
How often did David give you guitar lessons, Mrs. Holland?
Not often.
Once a week?
Maybe.
Did he charge you for them?
Not really. I did things for him instead. I mean, odd bits of washing, mending, you know.
Yes, I see. Give and take, a friendly arrangement.
Right.
You knew him quite well, then?
On a superficial level, yes. Sugar?
Oh, no, thank you. Ah, lovely. He didn't discuss things with you?
What things, Edward?
Oh, tough. His family, perhaps. You must have discussed something while you were strumming away.
He told me about his mother. That was very sad.
Mm. Yes, you must have felt a bit like a substitute mother doing his washing and mending.
Look, we told you it was just a business arrangement.
I tried to make him feel at home, if that's what you mean.
Thank you, Mrs. Holland.
I didn't think anyone could have taken the place of his mother. Her memory meant a lot to him.
He told you that?
Not in so many words, no.
You seem to know him well. Sounds more than just a superficial level.
Not really. He just talked about himself sometimes when he was depressed. I suppose there was no one else there to listen.
What about his father? He visited. Why couldn't he talk to him?
He was the last person he talked to. He hated him.
Ah, well, he seemed to be building up a picture of a quiet, lonely boy who finds it hard to communicate with people. How come he can talk to you?
Because I've got more time than most. I'm a good listener.
Aha.
Look down this road when you leave, Superintendent. Rows of houses containing rows of housewives, all reading Barbara Cartland novels and tending their gardens or learning pottery making. I study people. That's how I keep my sanity within these four walls. That's how I got to know David. I could give you potted biographies of a dozen others, but you wouldn't be interested in them, would you?
Because they didn't die in suspicious circumstances.
No. They're only dying inside. That doesn't matter, does it?
What?
Like silent crying. That's tolerable. It's only when you make a noise you become a nuisance.
Well, I'm afraid that's all a bit deep for me, Mrs. Holland. I'm just a policeman.
You know? You don't mind if I get back to work, do you? Only I think we've told you all we can.
Yes, no. Well, that's perfectly all right. Look, I'll be in touch if there's anything else. I'll let myself out, shall I?
This phrase is really getting you down, isn't he?
He's everything I'm not. Smooth, methodical. You should see the office. It's a mass of charts and figures. I feel more like a weatherman than a copper.
But does he get results?
I don't know. He go down well with the selection boards, I can see that.
Well, maybe you should take a few tips then. Yours is coming up again soon.
Look, I told you not to pin any hopes on that. I don't stand a chance.
Why go up for it then?
Let them know I'm still alive.
I don't believe you. It's just a defence mechanism. You're good at your job.
I don't go about it the right way. I'm not a team man. Look at Fraser. He consults everyone, gathers his evidence scientifically, reports every step in triplicate. But he wouldn't know a murderer if he fell over one, not till he'd weighed him and measured his fingernails. He brings it all down to facts and figures. If X equals Y, then Z is the villain. It's a science to him, with logical answers.
Whereas we know it's an art, don't we, Jimmy?
I know I'm out of step, but I can't even pretend to do it his way.
Then don't.
What about that washing machine we could afford on an inspector's pay?
Oh, I've lived without it so long, a year or two more will make no difference.
Why do you put up with me?
Have to. I know I'll never change you.
Here we go again. All right. I've asked you here this morning so I can review the progress, and lack of it, on this investigation so far. Let's go back to our chart. B.C. Matthews.
Sir?
We've established the identity of our body, and we now know some of his movements on the day of his death. We know he packed up and left his digs in the morning. We know he went to the hairdresser's and then on to lunch with his father. Both, as far as we know, without his suitcase. What happened to it? P.C. Jackson, you were checking the left luggage lockers at the station.
Nothing there, sir.
Ah, so that stays blank. Lunch, according to his father, was uneventful. He noticed nothing unusual about his son's manner. Apparently, the boy didn't even mention having left his digs.
However, it must be noted that Mr. Simon was less than helpful to the local police and didn't tell us about the lunch until Sergeant Vogel interviewed him the next day. So an independent witness who was near enough and nosy enough to have overheard any of their conversation at lunch would be a godsend. Sergeant Vogel, you'll cover the Bell Jar restaurant.
Sure.
Now, the main point I want to make this morning is that we mustn't let this get cold on us. Our best chance for results is now, while it's still fresh in people's minds. Someone dumped that body on the heath, and someone must have seen it done. Find them. PCs Jackson and Springett will continue their interviews there. And try to look a bit more enthusiastic. After all, we do pay you a boot allowance.
Yes.
All right. Now, we've made a good start, but there's a long way to go. What happened after lunch? His father assumed that he returned to his digs. Mrs. Holland says he never went back there. So where did he go? To friends? If so, we don't know who they are. And that's the major area still uncharted. The only person we know who really talked to him ever was his landlady. There may be others. We know he bought presents for someone, even fought for their honour. The landlady, girlfriend, boyfriend. If she or he exists, and I'm assuming she does, then someone has seen them together. Even if she's married or he's a homosexual, I don't believe you can carry on an affair totally in isolation from the world. So hawk that photograph round pubs, clubs, restaurants, bars, the usual run, and find her or him for me. Sergeant Mann will be organising details of that.
That's right.
Finally, this is not a spectacular investigation. It won't attract press or public interest. It's expensive in terms of time and manpower. And I'm already under pressure to release many of you to other investigations. Now, I would like to feel that we can make some sort of breakthrough before I have to bow to that pressure. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm afraid we're closed, sir.
Detective Sergeant Vogel, Hotham Road Police.
Something wrong?
Not really. You know this lad?
Yes, just he comes in here sometimes. With an older man, his father, I think.
That's it.
Mr. Simon?
10 out of 10. Mm. When were they in last?
Oh, a couple of days ago, maybe.
Tuesday?
Yes, Tuesday.
Who served them?
I did. They were over in the corner there. I do all the tables on that side.
Were you busy?
Not especially, no. Always slow Tuesdays.
I wondered if you might have overheard some of what they were saying. There's nothing wrong in that. I mean, I often listen to other people's conversations. Couple of girls behind me on the bus this morning. What they said made your hair curl.
I couldn't tell you exact words.
Anything would help.
I think they were having a row.
Yeah?
I'm a father myself. 2 teenage boys. I don't look old enough, eh?
No.
It's not the easy thing bringing up kids. But if there's trust between you, well, I tell mine to do something and I know I've got good reason.
About Mr. Simon?
That's what I'm telling you. He didn't know how to handle the boy, see?
Oh, yeah?
Like I said, there was a row. About a woman, aren't they all? I didn't hear much of what they said, but the boy shouted, "It's my life and it's none of your business." What? Well, that made me look up.
Yeah, it would.
Then the father said, "It's my money, though, so you can forget the whole idea or forget your allowance." Something like that. Of course. That was the worst thing he could have said to him.
Eh?
You don't threaten a boy that age, especially not with money. They've got too much pride. Besides, they still think poverty is romantic.
So what happened next?
Oh, the boy got up and walked straight out. Didn't even bother with his trifle. The father shoved some money in my hand and races out after him. Another mistake.
Why?
A father should have dignity. How can he have dignity running down the street after a boy half his age?
You've been very helpful.
Any time. What happened to them?
The boy's dead.
Oh. It's a rotten job being a father.
Yeah. See ya.
I just want to be allowed to forget about David. Don't you understand that?
I don't mean to be insensitive, sir, but I'm leading an investigation into a serious crime. Now, if you'd been frank with us in the first place, I wouldn't need to be bothering you again now.
It was just a row between father and son. Nothing to do with your case.
I'll be the judge of that. Who was the woman you were arguing about in the restaurant?
I don't know.
You were shouting about a total stranger, then?
It was the first time I'd heard anything about her. I thought it was just going to be our usual lunch in the Bell Jar.
I just don't know why we come here.
Look at that wallpaper. Terrible mock-shishy rubbish.
We can't all have your exquisite taste.
A child of three could see those colours don't match.
Oh, for God's sake, let's not argue. We see each other so seldom. Surely we can be civil for a couple of hours.
Provided we stick to safe subjects, yes.
How's work? Haven't told me anything about it. What are you doing at college?
That's not a safe subject.
Surely I'm allowed to take an interest in my son's progress. It's important, after all. You've got exams coming up.
Maybe.
What?
Nothing.
Come on, I want to know what you meant by that.
Just that I might not be taking them.
My God,
I knew you'd hit the roof.
Your education's cost a lot of money. I'm not going to stand by and watch you chuck it all away.
Does it really matter? I won't stop breathing because I don't take an exam. I'll still have a future. It'll just be a different one, that's all.
What will you do? Sweep roads, empty dustbins?
Oh, I doubt I'll manage anything
serious. It's not a joking matter, David.
Pity. It's what our relationship needs. A few more jokes.
Look, I think I'm entitled to know your reasons. You owe me that much.
Why? Because you're my father.
Yes, and to put it bluntly, because I've invested a great deal of money in your education. I've a right to know why I won't see a profit.
Hoping I'd keep you in your old age.
I meant your profit. The pleasure I'd get by seeing you make something of your life, that would be enough for me.
Oh, God. Even you can't expect me to take that
seriously. It's true. I've always wanted the best for you.
Well, that's why I'm going, really. Because I want the best too.
I don't understand.
It's hard to know how to explain it to you. I can't produce a balance sheet, profit and loss.
Can't you stop the snide remarks for 5 minutes?
I'm in love. Having an affair, whatever you want to call it. We want to be together, but circumstances make that difficult.
You mean she's married?
Oh, you've got that disapproving look on your face. I've seen that look ever since I was in Naples.
I just think you're a bloody fool.
Thanks.
I suppose her husband's found out.
You've got a way of making everything sound sordid.
You'll have to give it up.
We're going away together.
I forbid you to go anywhere.
Don't make me laugh.
If your mother were alive.
Look, it's my life and it's none of your business.
One treats Melbourne and one tries.
Ah, thank you. It may be your life, but it's my money, so you can forget the whole idea or forget your allowance.
Stuff your allowance!
David!
Your
bills,
yeah, that'll cover it. Take that. David!
You were pretty angry.
I think I had every right to be.
What happened when you caught up with him?
I didn't. I hurried down the high street, but he got on a bus before I could catch him.
What number?
93, I think.
Back to the station?
No, the other way.
I see. Any idea where he might have been heading?
To the lady, I imagine.
When you were interviewed before, you said you were sure your son committed suicide. But from what you've told me, he was in anything but a suicidal frame of mind when you last saw him.
He was in a highly emotional state.
But determined, not despairing.
Well, it's obvious what happened. She changed her mind. You know what these little suburban housewives are like. All she'd have been interested in was the sex. Of course, David believed it was much more than that. It would have been a terrible blow to him.
Well, maybe.
I admit we didn't get on, but I knew David better than anyone. He was an innocent, a romantic. People thought I bullied him. Maybe I did, but it was for him. His own good.
How do you mean?
Someone had to get his feet on the ground. It may sound cynical, Superintendent, but you can't go through life thinking the best of people and looking for pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. Life isn't like that.
Well, it's all water under the bridge now, sir.
Yes. If you find this woman, Superintendent, I'd like to meet her.
Yes, I don't think that'd be a very good idea, sir. Not for either of you.
No? Perhaps you're right. Better to forget.
You got the housekeeper's statement?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid it's not finished yet. Just got a bit more to type.
Does it agree with his version?
More or less. She reckons he was home about 8. If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah?
What's all that lot in the box for? It isn't lifeboat day, is it?
They're for the map. Each colour represents a different person, or the same person at a different time of day. Helps me to get a clearer overall picture.
Really?
Yes. Do you good to get a bit of method into your work, Jimmy. I don't know how you can find anything in this pigsty. You making any progress?
We also serve who only wear out boots.
Well, don't keep it to yourself, then.
Well, apart from our body, it was a pretty average day for crime, Tuesday. Handbag snatch, couple of indecent exposures and a TDA.
Exciting stuff.
It's the taking and driving away that might interest us. Mercedes. Good-sized boot on a Merc.
Also favourite for joyride.
Dumped less than a quarter of a mile from where it was nicked and about as close to the body.
What's the connection?
An old dear reckons she saw him leaving it. Ah. Looked like student, she said. Boy and a girl.
David and his girlfriend.
No way the description could fit, but it could have been Hills. Jacko's gone to fetch him.
That would explain why he gave us all that toffee about clearing his head and going to the pictures.
I told you he was up to something, sir.
Well, we'll see what forensics have got to say about that, Mercedes.
I've already fixed that, sir.
Yeah. Off your own bat.
Surely teamwork shouldn't stop me using my initiative,
You're supposed to check with me before tying up expensive personnel or equipment. Forensics are overworked as much as we are.
But you just said
that yes. Well, this time you were right. Next time, check.
Sir.
In the meanwhile, take that initiative of yours down to Putney Garage.
Hey.
Try and find the conductor of the 93 bus Simon took after lunch. He got on in the High Street. Where did he get off?
Sir.
I'll see to Mr. Hills when they bring him in.
Are we charging Hills, sir?
Only for the TDA. Mm. Fingerprints match. Nothing to do with our body, though. Just a bit more paperwork.
Oh, Chief Superintendent Morgan's been on again, sir. Asked if you'd ring him back.
Yes, I know what he wants. More men.
Yes, he's after that bloke who's been interfering with the kiddies, isn't he, sir?
Yes, I believe.
Yes, well, a lot of the lads are family men, sir. They want to see him nailed.
Yes.
Well, just if you're not making much progress, you might be able to release a few more to him.
I'll make that decision when I'm good and ready, Sergeant. Ah, how was the bus station doing?
Not a lot of laughs.
Conductor didn't remember him, then.
They had a party last night. One of their wives had triplets. All they seem to remember is wetting the baby's heads, and that's pretty easy.
Let's go to the office.
Scaling down, are we?
Now, don't you start.
I wasn't. I just heard a few rumours.
I know that catching that flash is important, but so's this, and we're still getting useful stuff in. Look, Springett found a kid on the Heath spotting car numbers. His mum says he was there Tuesday. Notebook full of registrations.
Don't suppose he put the times by them, did he?
Okay. So it's not much, but it tells us who was around.
More flags on the map, eh? Anyone we know?
Hill's Mercedes.
Oh, so it was him who nicked it.
Just a red herring. We've dealt with that already. A couple of petty villains, we're checking them out now. Mr. Simon's Lagonda.
On his way back to Bedford?
Yeah, and Holland on his way back from work, I suppose.
It's a start.
So, let's look at what we've got.
Sore feet.
I think we can rule Hills out now. When he wasn't impressing his girlfriend by nicking the thing, he was probably screwing her on the back seat. How about Dad?
It'll be a tight schedule. Kill him, dump him, still get back to Bedford in time for the housekeeper to alibi him.
But he's clever enough to know that it's in his favour, and it'd answer one dodgy question.
Yeah?
Why dump the body in daylight when it has to be safer at night? Simon'd have to, or he'd be back late enough to cause suspicion. Oh, God. Razor.
Message from P.C. Springett, sir.
Well, if it's not good news, don't bother.
Well, he doesn't know if it's relevant, sir, but Holland's car number is written in twice. There's about 60 numbers in between.
Are you sure it was on the same day?
Oh, yeah. The kid's very meticulous. Always starts a clean sheet every afternoon.
Right. Get him to buy the boy some chocolate when he gives back the book. I'll pay.
Righto, sir. One bit of bad news as well.
Yes?
Message to ring the ACC.
Thanks, Sergeant. Well, Jimmy, sounds like I'm going to be leaned on from on high.
You could have said no.
You don't ignore a friendly word from the ACC, not if you want to keep getting promotion.
It wasn't an order, though.
Well, pep talk on cooperation's as good as an order, Jimmy. The result's the same. We've lost half the men we had on this investigation, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Still, there's one way to solve it. The rest of us will have to work twice as hard.
Yeah. You can't park there. Not without a permit.
Oh, yes, we can.
Oh. Jax.
Yes, we'd like to ask you some questions. You on duty Tuesday?
I'm on duty every day, Squire.
Mr. Holland.
What about him?
What time did he leave Tuesday?
Usual time, five-ish.
Is it possible He could have left during the afternoon and come back again.
Well, I'd have seen him, wouldn't I?
You're here all the time?
Yeah.
How about lunch?
Well, I've not gone long. Sandwich and a drink over the road, half hour at most.
Who's in charge of the car park, then? Oh,
I leave the gate up and people know where to find me if there's an emergency.
So there's no one here?
But that's the only time you're away.
Yeah, well, apart from the usual, that's all.
Hey.
Well, I have to go to the laboratory, don't I? Everyone does.
And where's that?
Main building.
Oh, that's another 10 minutes, more if you stop for a smoke. How many times do you go Tuesday afternoon?
I don't keep records of it.
If he had a few beers lunchtime, there'd be time to drive a Centurion tank in and out without him noticing.
All right, I don't know if he went out, but there's something I can tell you. He had a visitor.
Who?
Young lad. Never seen him before.
Have a look at this photo.
Yeah, that's him.
93 stops just down the road, too.
Yeah? Well, he came to the hut about 2. Asked for Mr. Holland. I sent him up there.
Did you see him leave?
No, but I went to lunch at 2:30, you see.
Mm.
What's all this about?
Oh, just routine.
Where's Mr. Holland now?
Room 213, main building. Take the lift to the second floor, and it's the first door on your left when you get out.
Sure.
Here, do you want me to give him a ring? Tell him you're on your way.
No, no, thanks. We'll let it come as a lovely surprise, eh?
That blue Zodiac's Holland's car, isn't it?
Yes, why?
Well, I thought I ought to do a bit of crime prevention. Checked he'd locked it up properly.
You don't think he'd have been cheeky enough to stuff a body in there in an open car park, do you?
I doubt it. Mind you, that attendant wouldn't have noticed anything.
Jimmy.
Sir?
Careful, eh?
Height of discretion, sir.
Come in.
Mr. Holland. What was David Simon doing here on Tuesday afternoon?
He came about the rent he owed.
Oh, yes?
I told you, he was 4 weeks behind.
You never mentioned him coming here before, though.
No.
It makes you the last person we know who saw him alive. You must have realised that'd be important.
I didn't want to get involved.
Well, you're involved now, Mr. Holland, right up to your eyeballs. Obstructing the police in the course of their investigations is an offence. So your card's marked already, and you're still at it.
Eh?
The rent story's a phony. If he'd really come about that, you'd have told me before. You lied because you're hiding something.
He was blackmailing me.
What?
I gave him £10 on Tuesday. It wasn't the first time.
He didn't have a penny on him when he found the body.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that.
All right, suppose I buy it. What was he blackmailing you about?
If I tell you that, I'm in trouble.
If you don't, it could be worse. Depends how much you've got to hide.
I suppose it'll probably all come out now anyway.
Then you do best to tell me. Cooperation helps.
You probably noticed that Laura comes from a different sort of background to me. When her father died, he left her a bit of money. The house, the car, practically everything belongs to her.
Yes, I did wonder how you kept it all going on your money.
Well, the idea of being a kept man doesn't appeal to me, Superintendent. I've always done my best to make up for it. I do all the overtime I can and all the odd jobs around the house. I built the garage myself. But there doesn't seem to be anything that I can do that she can't pay for just as easily.
Now, what's all this got to do with Simon?
I did a stupid thing. I wanted to buy her something special for her birthday. Really special. A coat. Lovely it was, but I couldn't afford it, see? No way.
Go on.
I tried to get a loan, but I couldn't raise enough.
So you nicked something?
Cameras. From the factory. Not a lot. They'd have noticed that. Just one at a time. I was very careful. No one's even missed them yet.
Where'd you sell them?
A bloke in delivery did it for me. Trouble was, I got to thinking he was making more out of it than I was.
Greed. That's what always blows it.
I just wanted enough for the coat. Offered one to David. It was a mistake.
He put the black on you?
Threatened to tell the firm.
But why should he move out? Surely he was best off in your house, where he could keep an eye on you.
No, he was too shrewd for that. I sometimes took them home, you see. He didn't want to be that close to stolen property. Look, I was the one taking all the risk. He just took most of the profit.
That why you killed him?
Oh, I didn't kill him.
No. You won't mind us going over your car, then. Doesn't really matter if you do. I reckon we've got enough for our warrant now.
Sergeant Vogel.
Mind if I come in?
Certainly.
Superintendent Fraser asked me to call. He didn't want you to worry about your husband.
Why should I be worried?
He'll be a bit late back. He's helping us down the station. Do you mind if I smoke?
I'll get you an ashtray.
Oh, doesn't matter. Been a bit warmer today, isn't it?
What do you mean, helping us?
Hey?
Helping us with our inquiries. Isn't that what policemen say before they charge someone?
Sometimes it just means helping.
What about this time?
He'll probably be in a bit of trouble about some cameras.
What cameras?
The ones he nicked from work.
I don't believe you.
He's admitted it. We've checked at the factory. There's 36 missing.
Why should Edward steal anything? It doesn't make sense. Look around you, Sergeant. We're not exactly on the breadline.
That's got nothing to do with it. I've worked this patch a couple of years now. It may be full of respectable middle-class families, pillars of society, but scratch the surface and they're as cruel, avaricious and downright dishonest as anyone else.
You don't like us very much, do you?
The Mortlake Mafia, we call you.
You shouldn't judge by appearances. Because we live in faceless suburban streets doesn't mean we've all got souls to match.
I don't know much about souls, madam. I've got this arrangement with the vicar. I'll let him handle the souls and he leaves the villains to me.
Should I come down to the station? I imagine Edward could do with a bit of moral support.
Well, it's up to you, madam. Could mean a lot of hanging around.
It's fairly straightforward, surely. If he's admitted it, all you need is someone to bail him out.
Maybe. There's another matter to deal with first.
Yes?
Did you realise your husband was being blackmailed?
What?
Nothing spectacular, just a few quid at a time. Mind you, I suppose that's a lot of money to a student.
You mean David?
Who else?
Edward told you that.
Are you saying you didn't know?
Of course not. Don't you believe me?
I don't know if I believe him. That's the trouble with this case. I don't even know the rules yet.
Rules?
Well, it's all a game, isn't it, to someone?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's rather hard to take all this in at once without having to cope with riddles.
Yes, of course, madam. It must have been a shock. Would you like me to get someone to sit with you? Neighbour, perhaps? Just till you've calmed down?
No. I've got to face up to it sometime. I'll arrange a babysitter for the children, then I'll come down to the station with you. Edward needs me there.
Right, Mr. Holland. I've read your statement. It seems to correspond fairly closely with what you told me this afternoon. Normally, I just asked you to sign it and it'd be used as evidence, but before you do that, I think I should tell you that I've had the forensic report on your car. It's pretty damaging. There are blood and fiber traces in the boot that prove quite conclusively that David Simon's body was stowed in there. There's even a bit of his hair. We'll also be making forensic examination of your house and office. Now, I want to be fair to you. In the light of this evidence, do you still maintain that this statement is a true and honest recollection of the events of Tuesday afternoon?
No.
Do you wish to sign it or have it used as evidence?
No.
Start again, then. Oh, well.
God, what a mess.
Did you kill David Simon? Well?
Yes.
Why?
I told you. He was blackmailing me.
You did it to get him off your back?
It started out just a few quid, like I told you.
Hang on a minute. You're getting this down, aren't you, Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm so sorry. Do carry on, Mr. Holland. Ah, what do you think?
Toffee. Pure Everton toffee.
Yes, there are a few things that don't add up, I know. But he was confused by then. He told me so many different stories, he probably didn't know what was true himself.
You're never going into court with it, not even on a guilty plea. If he changed his mind, we'd be left with egg all over our faces.
There's the car boot. No arguing with that.
Okay.
he was involved, but it didn't happen like that. No one keeps a carving knife in the bedroom on the off chance of committing a murder one day.
So he took it upstairs with him. It was premeditated.
And the victim just stood there and let him cut his throat. There was no sign of a struggle, remember?
Well, there needn't be one deep cut. If he caught him by surprise, that'd be it.
Hell of a lucky shot. Good enough to convince the pathologist it was self-inflicted. You don't really believe it, or you'd have charged him.
All right, Sherlock, bloody Holmes. What's your theory? What does your famous nose tell you?
Let's start with his mystery woman. Has to be Mrs. Holland, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's obvious. She'd never let him have another bird in the house. We can't find anyone who saw him out with one, so it's her or she doesn't exist.
Well, we can't be that certain. After all, she's old enough to be his mother.
Good point. We know he was obsessed with his mother, so he turns to her as a substitute.
Well, even if it's true, it just makes a better motive for Holland to bump the boy off. Not only is he blackmailing, he's screwing his wife too.
It still doesn't fit.
Oh, what's wrong now?
He's not a blackmailer. He was quiet, shy, bookish, child almost. Now all of a sudden he's Jack the Lad.
Well, he beat up Eric Hills. That seemed out of character too.
Yeah, I thought so too at first, but it wasn't. It was chivalry, like an old-fashioned knight in armour fighting for his lady's honour.
Right. That's a bit fanciful, isn't it?
So was he. That's what his father didn't like about him. Now, there's someone who'd make a blackmailer, but not David. He wasn't interested enough in money.
You really think you know him, don't you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I understand people. It's computers that leave me baffled.
Okay, Jimmy. I'll back your nose.
Eh?
I'll give you a couple of hours with both of them and see what you come up with.
Now?
No. Go home, get some sleep. Try it fresh in the morning.
Thank you, sir.
We've got the cameras as a holding charge, and you can take it from there.
Sir.
You'd better not let me down, though, when I've got a confession all signed and sealed. Eh? Good night.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't smoke in here. The smell hangs in the curtains for days.
Sorry.
Look, I don't know what you're worrying about. It shows Fraser trusts you.
Maybe.
Perhaps he's not such a bad bloke after all.
Doesn't cost him anything. If I make a mistake, it's my fault. If I don't, he gets the credit.
And it's not worth losing sleep over. Especially as you've got a big day tomorrow. Come to bed.
What do you mean, big day?
But it's your selection board in the afternoon.
Bloody hell, I'd forgotten about that.
Oh. Well, I had your suit cleaned.
Thanks.
And I've laid out a clean shirt and tie. You'll look every inch the go-getting young inspector. Pity about the bags under your eyes.
Occupational hazard.
I really can't stay awake much longer.
I'll put the light out.
Oh, tar. Night, Jimmy.
Mo?
What?
Can I ask you something?
How about?
Clothes.
Can't wait till the morning.
No, it's important.
Go on, then.
If you had money and taste as well as good looks...
Oh, look, I'm too tired for jokes.
What would go with a worsted suit in houndstooth check?
Are you buying me a present, Jimmy? Because for that sort of money, there's plenty of things I'd prefer to a wool suit.
No, it's not for you.
Well, who are you buying it for?
I'm not buying it for anything. It's just a question. Now, what accessories would go with houndstooth worsted?
Well, black court shoes, matching handbag and gloves, maybe a hat to round it off.
How about a chiffon scarf, pink with blue dots?
Hardly.
Sure?
Well, practically anything goes in fashion these days, but it's not what you'd call tasteful.
That's what I hoped you'd say, because she's certainly got taste. Thanks, Mo.
Any time.
I'll come to bed now.
Hello, Laura.
Ted. I got here as soon as I could. I packed the children off to my mother.
Oh, yeah.
I knew something was wrong and I didn't want to have to go on lying to them.
Probably for the best.
Have you eaten any breakfast?
Oh, yeah. I asked, but they didn't have any porridge.
I've found a solicitor who'll handle the legal side for us. Is there anything else I can do?
Bit of praying, maybe.
Look, do you think you could leave us alone for a minute, Sergeant?
Sorry.
You must realise that we've got a lot of personal things to discuss.
Your concern would be a bit more touching if I didn't know you were letting your husband get done for a murder he didn't commit.
What?
Would you mind taking off that scarf, Mrs. Holland?
What an extraordinary request.
So humour me. Thank you. Could you tell me how you got those scars on your neck?
It was him. He did it.
That what she told you?
I'm glad it's come out, really. I made up the blackmail story to protect Laura. I thought you'd never believe it was self-defence after we dumped the body like that.
So try me.
Laura and David were having an affair. I knew nothing about it until he came to see me that day. He'd been trying to persuade Laura to go away with him for ages. But she's always refused because of the children.
And you.
Yeah, well, anyway, when he found out about the cameras, he thought it'd make her despise me enough to make the final break. Well, that's what he came to tell me. It seemed pretty hopeless, but I decided to follow him back to the house and try and persuade her to stay. I managed to slip out without anyone noticing, but by the time I got there, it was too late. He was lying dead on the floor, and Laura's throat was cut. God almighty!
I'm all right. I'll be all right.
What happened?
I'm staying with you. I told him I wouldn't go. He just went mad.
Oh. He's dead.
It wasn't my fault. I don't want the police and everyone here. I couldn't take that.
It'll be all right. It was self-defense, we'll tell him.
No, no. Help me, Ted. We've not got much time.
What do you want me to do?
The children will be home in a moment. They mustn't see
her. I've got to get you to a doctor first.
No, no, I've told you I'll be all right. Get the sheet off the bed.
Look, you'll probably need stitches in that cut.
Don't be stupid. A doctor will have to ask questions. Do as I tell you.
But you're losing blood.
Wrap that higher. Wrap that thing. In a sheet.
We'd never get away with that, Laura.
You must.
Well, tell them I did it. Well, after all, it was my fault, really. If you hadn't been loyal to me, if you had gone away with him, it wouldn't have happened.
We won't tell anyone anything, don't you understand? We don't have to. Once that thing is out of the house, it's all over.
But
he moved out. We don't know where he went. You've got that.
But they'll find out.
The knife in his hand. Wipe the handle first. That's it. Now, clear his pockets. They might not even trace him back to us then.
I suppose it's worth a try.
We can do it, Dad. We don't panic if we just stay calm.
I put the body into the boot of the car. I think I was planning to leave it there till dark. But when I was driving past the heath, I saw a van being stopped by a policeman. It was stupid looking back on it. It must have been for speeding or dangerous driving. Or maybe the driver was just asking the way. But somehow at the time, I was sure the police were stopping everyone. I turned onto the track that runs across the heath to avoid him. I swear I could hear the body bumping about in the boot behind me. I felt I was trailing blood everywhere I went. I stopped the car, but there was nothing that could give me away. I stood there sweating. It was like a nightmare. Me, Ted Holland, the most ordinary bloke you could meet, stuck with a dead body in my car. I opened the boot and chucked him behind some bushes.
In broad daylight?
I panicked. I'm not your professional criminal, Mr. Vogel. Like I said, I'm just an ordinary bloke.
You nearly got away with it, too. All right, take him down, Jackson.
Okay, Sarge.
I'm sorry for all the trouble I caused.
Yeah, so am I.
I'll see you later, Laura.
I hope so.
Terrible thing, all those Hollywood films.
What?
They've raised false hopes in so many people, especially our generation, don't you think?
Do you know what you're talking about, Sergeant?
Glamour, romance, tinsel, stuff dreams are made of, you know.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
I suppose it's getting hard to know what's dream and what's real. Ted wouldn't understand. Like he said, he's just an ordinary bloke. He couldn't see you've always been waiting for the hero to come riding up on his white charger and take you off into the sunset. Trouble is, it's meant to be a fantasy, isn't it? It's very inconvenient when he turns up and really wants you to go.
I think this is in rather bad taste.
Not as bad as the blackmail story. That wasn't Hollywood, that was old British B-movie. What is it about the truth that frightens you so much, Mrs. Holland? Poor old Teddy still doesn't know.
I didn't mean to lie to him. He just assumed that was what happened.
And you went along with it because it was convenient to you?
No. I realised that with David dead, I'd be spending the rest of my life with Edward. How could I do that if he knew that a couple of hours earlier I'd rather have died than stay?
I don't believe that you ever intended to kill yourself.
I'd changed my mind so many times before. But this time I'd been determined to go. I'd even written a note to Ted explaining my reasons.
Then why didn't you go?
Oh, those wretched cameras. David told me, thinking there'd be one more reason to leave, but it made Ted seem so... so pathetic. It was such a hopeless gesture. He was bound to be found out. I suddenly realised how much he needed me.
But David had already told him you were leaving.
When I broke the news to him, he just went mad.
It's all a game to you, just a bloody game. First you'll leave and then you won't. On and on. Don't you understand what it's doing to me?
Oh, it hurts me just as much.
No, no. You can't love me like I love you, because I know I can't live without you.
I feel the same, Dave.
But don't you understand? I can't stay here now I've had it out with Ted. If you don't come with me, that's it. Finished.
If I stay here, I've lost you. But if I go, I still won't be happy. I'll always be thinking about Ted and the children, knowing how much I've hurt them. My life is over.
Then there's only one answer.
I can't see one.
I can't live with you. I can't live without you. If you feel the same... it's obvious.
What are you talking about?
Do you love me enough to die for me?
What?
Because I love you that much.
Looking back, doesn't seem like me and him. It's like two different people. No, not people. Puppets. Puppets going through some ghastly, predetermined dance. We went down to the kitchen. He took the knife from the drawer. He was calm now. Very calm as we went upstairs, knowing we were going to die. He gave me the knife first. I tried, but... oh, God! Oh, God!
It has to be deeper, Laura.
Oh, I can't! I just can't!
Give me the knife. I'll go first. If there is anything after death, I'll see you there. Don't keep me waiting.
Knife from his hand. The deep down I knew I was too much of a coward. I seemed to be staring at it for hours when Ted came in. Seeing the knife, he thought I'd killed him. You know the rest.
Laura Holland, I arrest you for the murder of David Simon. Do you wish to say anything? You're not obliged to say anything unless you want, but anything you do say will be put into writing and used in evidence.
But I told you what happened. It was suicide.
A normal person doesn't stand by and watch someone commit suicide. And to encourage a man to kill himself, even hand him the weapon, can be homicide, and has been held to be so in court. All you wanted was a bit on the side. Simon's death was the most convenient thing that could have happened to you when he got too serious. That's why you didn't try to stop him. And that's why you let him believe you were going to do the same. And that's why you disposed of the body so carefully. You knew you were guilty. And you didn't want us to find out.
I've got nothing more to say to you, Sergeant.
No, you wouldn't. Question is whether you can swing a jury as easy as you twisted your husband.
Hello, Jimmy. Airing the best suit again, I see.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you want a fag?
Oh, Tom.
God. They totted up the amount of time a policeman wasted in courtroom corridors and be a public outcry.
What's the delay now?
Bit of unofficial dealing in the air.
Oh, yeah?
Offer is we dropped to manslaughter for a guilty plea.
I still say it's murder.
Morally, yes, but we'll never make it stick. In fact, I doubt the defence will even buy manslaughter. They reckon they'll get her off.
You think that?
Yeah. Oh, don't take it to heart, Jimmy. Win a few, lose a few. That's my motto. Yo. By the way, how did the selection board go?
Lose a few.
Oh, well. Better luck next time, eh? See you in there.
Yeah.
In Body on the Heath by Bill Lyons, Detective Sergeant Vogel was played by Douglas Livingston, Detective Superintendent Fraser by Nigel Hawthorne, and Laura Holland by Colette O'Neill. Edward Holland, David Graham, David Simon, Stephen Pacey, Mr. Simon and the Pathologist, Bruce Purchase, Maureen Vogel, Diana Bishop, Annie Vickers, Valerie Murray, Eric Hills, Christopher Bidmead, P.C. Jackson, Michael Harbour, and the Sergeant, Walter Hall. Alan Dudley played the waiter, the hairdresser, and the car park attendant. Other parts were played by Michael Tudor Barnes and Irene Sutcliffe. The play was produced and directed by Jane Morgan.